Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
What are you guys doing here?
What are you doing here? Wait, are you doing a podcast right now?
Welcome to the Robin Holly Show podcast.
The album is amazing, by the way. Let's just start off by that. Because when I was listening to it, I was like, this is me in my car on full blast singing very badly, by the way, but pretending my voice is yours. When you're making the album, is that how you're choosing songs, or is that kind of what your gauge is for this particular project? Because that's, I think, what is going to happen to every girl. We're all going to turn it up in our cars and sing loudly.
I mean, I think for this project, it was definitely, you know, in the forefront of our minds. First and foremost, like, I was like, I just want to have fun. I want to sing songs that make me happy. And, you know, I want to think ahead to being able to perform these songs on tour and be in front of people again and have an arena full of people. You know, I wanted to make songs for those moments. But yeah, we wanted people to have fun. It's time for everyone to just have a good time.
Well, and you're doing it because the Vegas residency, by the way, I'm just seeing it on social media and I'm like, oh my God, like, so now 2023, I have to make a trip to come see you because It looks amazing. And there's so many different layers and all this stuff. Are you, I think my question on that is, are you learning anything by doing Vegas? Is it opening you up to do more, I guess, different things that maybe you couldn't do on a regular tour?
Well, I think in terms of Vegas, you know, it was very important to, you know, think of it as a show and not necessarily a concert, which was just a different way of thinking. You know, we wanted, like, Vegas just has this certain standards of putting on a show. And, you know, I wanted to be me, but then I wanted it to look like it belonged there as well. So we had a lot of fun, you know, planning that and performing that. And we did do some things that we've never really done before. I've never had, you know, dancers on stage with me in like a tour situation or a show situation before. We had aerialists, we had, you know, these big moments in the show that, you know, were kind of bigger than life and things like that. So I do feel like it will, some of that will probably bleed over into putting on our tour, because I love the concept of a show versus a concert.
I was going to ask that because I was like, what kind of elements are you like, we have to do that on the tour coming up? Is there anything that you can say for sure? You're like, this definitely will happen.
I mean, we're still planning things and, yeah, mapping things out, but I wouldn't be surprised if I'm a bit aerial here and there. I feel like that's something that is just super fun. And, I mean, I've done things like that in, previous tours. Like, we always find some way to fly.
Yeah.
But, I feel like we will probably do something interesting when it comes to that.
And the Vegas costumes and stage clothing, I'm like, oh my God, do you have a favorite? So I wanted to ask favorite, because everything you always wear, I'm just like, this is like the dream, like when you're dressing up your Barbies, like these are the clothes that you want for your Barbies. What is your favorite from the Vegas shows? Like, what stage costume did you have that's your favorite?
Well, I definitely feel like overall, you know, the Vegas wardrobe is my favorite that we've ever done in a, you know, concert type setting. So I look forward to taking stuff like that, but it's all very different. You know, they're different acts have different feels, and I have like kind of big poofy dresses. I have things that are a little more rock and roll. There's a lot of me in the wardrobe, like personal pieces that I had in my closet that I brought, and I collect like vintage tees, and I had, like big, you know, Guns N' Roses t-shirts. And I had one that was like Patti Loveless, and just kind of a random assortment of t-shirts. And I'll buy them even when they're huge. And we'll make like rompers out of them. And those are really fun. It's fun to take something that was in my closet. That's mine. I bought it because I wanted it and I loved it. And we transformed it into, you know, something for a show.
Do you have a favorite that you've worn at the Grand Ole Opry, for example, is that you're like, oh, I will always remember this dress. This is my favorite.
Well, I'm very particular when it comes to Opry wardrobe. You know, you see pictures on the wall or, you know, just, you know, looking up things about the Grand Ole Opry. And I feel like the women always dressed in a certain caliber. And it was very rhinestones. It was very shiny, you know, it was a kind of a certain kind of dress. And I love trying to carry that legacy on. Cause they were just so beautiful to me, you know, growing up, seeing those pictures. And like I said, now just looking at the pictures in the halls. So, most of my Opry dresses are like kind of poofy. It's like, it's the thing. It's like when I'm looking through dresses, I'll be like, that's an Opry dress. And you just know it when you see it. I don't know if I have an absolute favorite one that I've ever worn there, but they're all they're chosen specifically for a purpose.
I really enjoy, like, when I see the pictures and stuff and I'm like, oh my God. Like, so just, as someone who likes poofy, glittery, you know, sparkly dresses, I appreciate that effort that goes into it. I want to talk about, your kids for a minute. Are they understanding your job yet? Or are they still kind of at that age? Like, I think Isaiah is seven. Yeah. Is he kind of getting it?
I feel like he probably didn't until he was going to school. Mm-hmm. And I feel like other kids would be like, I saw your mom on TV, or we listened to your mom's songs on the way to school, or whatever it was. I feel like he didn't really realize it until other people kind of pointed it out to him.
Yeah. It's always those other kids.
I know. It's not in a bad way. You know,
no, I'm just kidding.
It's all good. But, you know, I feel like the light bulb's starting to turn on in his head that what I do isn't normal.
Yeah. I think one of the times when I met you, we talked about, my son is five. So we have kind of in that same range about what they are finding and liking, like Blippi, like my kid loved Blippi for the longest time. Are you in the Blippi phase?
We
with Jacob?
Yeah. We went through the Blippi phase. We are on the other side now.
Is there anything though that you find yourself singing and you're like, oh my God, are you serious? Like, that's kind of like earwormed into, like, that's a kid's song.
I mean, I know the Blippi theme song. My kids would both, for a while, they still do it occasionally. But it's like Isaiah would watch like Power Rangers, and then he would be like, can you play Power Rangers songs in the car? And it is a thing. Like, there are lots of songs like on, you know, Apple Music or whatever, that you can, you can just type in Power Rangers and lots of stuff will pop up. So we would go through that phase. We would go through like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle songs, like just different things that he would see like on TV, and he would just want the songs. Sometimes it wouldn't even be stuff that he actually watched. Like, it'd be something that he heard about somewhere and would get stuck on.
The kids have
terrible taste in music.
so you're never like, hey, do you like this one? And then we'll put that one on the album if they like it. Cause they
No,
I've listened to Power Rangers.
Not a parameter at all.
Yeah. Every Ghostbuster
yeah. Yes.
variation and every
we
Power
were in a We were in a Ghostbuster phase for a while.
Oh my God.
Sure.
It's, oh, do you feel like this is ruining my ear right now for music?
I do worry. I do worry. I want to be cool. I want to remain, you know, on trend and know what the kids are listening to these days and not what my kids are listening to these days.
It's so funny. Well, I'm excited that you're on tour with Jimmy Allen, who has a children's book out. And that's what I wanted to know, is if that's anything that you've maybe thought about
writing a children's book.
Yeah.
I mean, I wrote a book.
Yeah. And, a real book.
it was really hard. I somehow think writing a children's book might be even harder. So I don't know. I don't know where I would start with that.
Yeah. I agree. Cause it's on my bucket list to write a children's book, and I like have notes and all this stuff. And it's really difficult because you have to be like smart and it's concise and to think about pictures. it's a whole right. thing.
You're like, what's the theme? What lesson are we teaching?
Yeah. I want to talk about when you brought up Guns N' Roses and obviously Stagecoach, like, oh my God, I was there. And I was like, what is happening right now? It was amazing. I was like, we are witnessing like a moment, like a true, like musical event. Like that's what it felt like. Is it had to have felt like that on the stage. And like, how does that even happen? Like, how do you see him out and about somewhere and you're like, hey, like this will be fun?
Or just ran into him at the grocery store and was like
me. No. Your cart banged into his cart. You're like, we should do some music together.
No, I mean, I've been covering Guns N' Roses for many, 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 many years. And it's one of those things that I've kind of been asking for a long time. And it was just the stars didn't line up as they were supposed to in those moments. But I was like, I'm gonna keep asking. And finally, I feel like it was just the right time, the right moment, the right stage. You know, it was such a huge, incredible audience. And it just the stars lined up and he said yes. And he came and we got to have rehearsal time, and I got to, you know, spend some time as a fan getting to be around him. And it was one of those moments that is, I was like, this is for me right now. Like, I know there's an audience out there. I know they're going to be loving every second of this, but I feel like for, you know, a few minutes, it's like me living out my dream on that stage.
I'm so glad you said that, because that's what I thought when I was watching it, because I was like, she's got to love this right now, because at one moment I felt like you were just like a fan, like one of us, you know, but you just happened to be on the stage. Like,
for sure.
Just, yeah, it was just absolutely amazing. So
even in rehearsals, I was like, this is my time. And it was like, we were in stage in front of 75,000 people in rehearsals to me, because I was just soaking in every moment, and he's just absolutely wonderful.
Yeah, it was. I just want to compliment you on it, because it's good. But let's go back to talk about the album. I want to talk about Ghost Story. It's the only song that you didn't completely write on it. Like, what made that one so special than the other ones?
Well, I will.
By that one,
I will say I really have no ego when it comes to like writing songs. I live in Nashville, Tennessee, for goodness sakes, and we have some of the most incredible songwriters in the world that live right here. And I love to write. I love to go in. I love to see what we can come up with. But if at the end of the day, and I say this every time, I'm like, if at the end of the day, you know, I'm in a funk and I'm not writing well, I am so more than willing. Everybody else is sending me great songs that I had nothing to do with. Great. I want to make the best album that I possibly can. I want songs that I can connect with, and I can connect with songs that I didn't write. That said, I did write all but one of these. And I did love that song. I love the musicality of it. I felt like it didn't sound like anything else that's on the radio mm-hmm. right now. It is a vocally challenging song, which I like. And it's very just visual. When you listen to it, I feel like you can play a movie in your head. And that led me to be like, okay, we can do a lot with this before the album comes out. You know, if I am going to perform it on things like various award shows or TV shows or whatever it is, I feel like we can do a lot with it. as from a performance standpoint. So it just made sense to me to be the first one. And now I feel like when the album comes out, everybody's listening to it. I feel like we can go any amount of directions with whatever comes next. But that one was a good pillar to start with.
You mentioned vocally that you like a challenge. Is there anything that you are like, I'm not touching that? Like there's nothing, right?
I mean, as far as like, I know my limitations, and I'll use something from my last album as kind of an example. There was something I was trying to do on Cry Pretty when I was recording my vocals for it. And I kept going for it. And I wasn't there. I was like half a step below where I needed to be. Cause I was just shooting for the moon, man. And David Garcia, my co-producer, was like, well, you only have to do it once. And I said, no, I don't. Like, I'm going to have to do it every single night on tour. And so that led me to be like, okay, I need to reroute and figure out something else to do, because I won't record anything I can't actually do. I'll never drop keys. I'll never, like, if I'm going for it, I'm going to go for it. It's going to be something I can go for every night. So if I'm recording it, I know that, you know, I'm going to be living like this for the next little while. I record hard songs. So, a lot of times preparing for a tour, I'm like, why do I do this to myself? But I love it. I love it.
Yeah. It's so good. I want to talk about the song Velvet Heartbreak. I love that. That to me, there's so many good songs on the album, but that one I was like, yes, it is velvet. Your voice is velvet. Can you tell us the story behind that song? We always ask three questions, by the way. Where were you? What were you thinking? What were you drinking? We realize a lot of hit songs have been made over water and coffee. So it doesn't have to be alcohol, but can you tell us the story behind that one?
Yeah, I mean, wrote that song with David Garcia and Hillary Lindsay. And that was kind of one of the ones that in the beginning, it was one of the first ones that we wrote that I was really excited about. And in writing it, like, I love the concept of like comparing a relationship to an article of clothing or buying something like at the mall. You know, there's something really interesting about that to me. And then having like a velvet heartbreak, trying to think of what would velvet sound like, if it were my voice, and then kind of slipping into that role and kind of playing that character and, trying to push myself in a different direction vocally than I feel like I've done before, was just a lot of fun. But we were at his studio at the time. He's since moved, David's, and, wrote that there drinking water and coffee. I caffeinate very much when I write, because I just feel like it makes my brain work faster. I drink way too much coffee. And what was it? What were you thinking?
It was
that thing, you know, trying to, how can we make doing something kind of trivial, like buying a dress, how can we make that the relationship? And we ended up with some really cool lines for sure.
I really love it. And I have one more question. And we like to know who makes you laugh. If you have a favorite stand-up comedian or favorite actor that's super funny in movies, who makes you laugh?
Right now, I love, I'm going to say his name so wrong. I know I am. Nate Bargatze.
Is that right? Bargatze.
You know who I'm talking about. It's not Getsky. Yeah. It's not Ski.
No, Rob. If Rob was here, he would say it correctly, because he always
makes the Tennessee kid.
Yes, he always like, he's like, no, he corrects me all the time on it. He's like, no, there's no Ski in it.
It's spelled like Bargates, I think. But
yes,
it's
like, yes, he's so funny, and he's clean.
He's super funny. We were at like a charity event not too long ago, and we got to sit next to him, and he's super funny in life as well, because he's so dry.
Yeah.
But I like that, because I feel like that's my humor as well. So he's a funny guy.
Coach, I like a dry humor. Yes, he's amazing, and I feel like that's like been our number one favorite comedian too. We keep playing him, and I'm not mad about it.
Yeah, that's good.
All right. Well, congratulations on the album and the upcoming tour. We can't wait to see you. Maybe one day a children's book. Who knows? But
never know
music,
with me.
We'll be okay with the music until then. So thank you for the music.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Rob and Holly Show podcast. Follow us at Rob and Holly Show and listen weeknights on Odyssey Country and the free Odyssey app. AUDACY.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.